Good morning, church family. This is Pastor Elson, and this morning's message is entitled, Why? Sounds familiar? We all, as humans, deal with a lot of whys throughout our entire life. And it starts at a very early age. Every human being, yes, every human being, children or adults, we all are guided by curiosity. And that's why we have so many questions. Being rational creatures, we all have a desire to seek answers to the things that makes common sense to us, that happens all around us. We seek to grasp the natural results of cause and effect in our lives. We all have questions, don't we? In fact, many of these questions that we have as we grow up are still the same why questions that our children are dealing with every single day. Our society in the past few years, I don't know if you have noticed, is rapidly killing the innocence of our children. Children are now having to ask, why did mommy left? Why did dad is no longer here? Why couldn't I be good enough for them to stay? Why am I not loved by anyone? As they grow up, those questions grow as well. Why do people say I need God? Why do people hate me? Pretty soon, we find ourselves asking the question that always seems to get to us. Why there is so much pain and suffering in this world? Why doesn't God do anything? Why bad things happen to good people? Why there is so much hate in our world? Why? 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 Almost sounds like an echo. There is a lot of whys. That's why God's people, you and I, need to be acquainted with God and to the answers that He has provided throughout the centuries in His beautiful and holy scriptures. There are many why questions that the Word of God is the only source that can provide us an answer that we can truly trust. I like to ask, why so many whys? Normally, we start asking a lot of questions around the age of 3, when our left side of our brains start to mature. Additionally, as we grow, we start to look for logic in things, an explanation so that we can understand. We need to understand the world around us. Children's endless questions can be sometimes tiresome to their parents, can be annoying sometimes, to tell the truth. But it is a good sign that their brains are developing well, so it's good for them to ask questions. The same thing with our Heavenly Father. He wants us to ask questions if we do in the right spirit. Their minds, as well as our minds, are analytical, and they need to improve. And questions are good to help our mind skills to be developed. It can be exhausting to answer so many questions sometimes. Therefore, you need to be prepared, my brother and sister, with patience, with lots of patience. And this is not true only to children, but as well to our fellow brothers and sisters, or to other people that do not understand the Bible as well as you do, or may not have a relationship with God the way we do. You need to be patient as we find the answers together. Children are very curious to learn. So is all the adults around us the same way. We need to have the proper answers. When children or anyone else seek answers from us, remember, they don't only listen to our words, but they also listen to our actions as well. Let me give you a brief list of the benefits of children's curiosity. So that next time your child is very curious, you guide their curiosity. Don't discourage. Here are 7 advantages of answering our children's why questions. You get a pencil? A pen? Write them down. Especially if you have little ones in your home. Write them down. First, remember 7 advantages of answering our children's why questions with God's word in mind. First, it stimulates their brain and cognitive reasoning. Second, helps overcome anxiety caused by ignorance. Yes, children sometimes, because they are not properly informed, they develop anxiety. And sometimes they do not communicate what they are feeling, which makes it worse. Third, creates spirituality and develops their faith. Fourth, increases interest in reading God's holy word. When I hear there are some young people, very young in our church, that just told me, Pastor, I start my biblical reading so that I'm going to go through the whole Bible. Oh, I was so happy. And these are very young people, and that will make an impact in their lives, not only this life, but forever. Number 5, increases their ability to learn about eternal principles. If you teach a child an eternal principle, you teach a child about eternity. Number six, improves their communication skills. Not only they start to understand themselves, they start to understand the people around them, but it gives them ability to communicate their needs, their thoughts, their ideas, their goals. And 7, it favors personal relationships, not only in their family circle, church, but also in the world. And most importantly, their personal relationship with God. Now, to the adults, I have a list as well. To the adults, the benefits of being curious also. Here are 7 advantages of adults seeking answers, but with humility. Seek answers because you want to grow closer to God, not as an act of rebellion. 1, it stimulates our thinking. It is good for us to question with humility. Increases our stored knowledge. In other words, increases your library. 3, creates opportunity for growth. Yes, we cannot get stuck. Some people sometimes, they are baptized and they never change afterwards. They do not invest. They don't grow. As Paul says in Hebrews, they are still eating like children. They do not grow. Once we are baptized, we need to develop and we need to keep searching. 4, helps to clarify our options in life. Everything in life is a matter of choice. God gave us the power to choose, so we need to have clear and clarify our options. 5, improves our perspective and understanding as well. Expand our mind. A mind that is not cultivated, it becomes a dump. 6, increases our probability of finding the truth, and the truth will set us free. And when we are free, we are happy indeed. And 7, It develops our ability to better relationships with God, an act of worship. With our fellow church members, an act of fellowship. With the world around us, ability to develop friendship. And of course, when we have those skills, we'll be able to fulfill God's mission for us, which is discipleship. Yes, brothers and sisters, throughout our lives, we all face countless questions. Yes, the topic may be different, the complexity may be different, but we all deal with questions. Question why everything happens in a natural, is a natural human need. To ask questions is natural to us. This is especially true when we or the children or adult are doing daily activities. For example, children might ask, why do I have to do my homework or the chores? Or why do I have to get up so early? Adults, don't you realize that in some ways we ask the same questions ourselves? Why do we have to go to this work every day? Why do I have to, oh, I wish I could have a break. Oh, I need a vacation. How many times we hear those things from adults? Why do I have to get up so early? Oh, I have to find myself another job. We are not different. Children have those questions. So do we as adults sometimes. Children have a lot of questions. Again, so do we. And parents can tell you that the why questions are the most popular around their house. Why can we do that? Well, why? Why? A child's never-end whys aren't meant always to exasperate parents. Scientists say that most of these constant whys are just a genuine attempt to acquire knowledge, nothing else. When the answers require more knowledge, they may show confusion or frustration. Same thing happens to adults. Sometimes when we cannot obtain answers to our questions, sometimes it gets us confused and frustrated, and sometimes even all the emotions that are not very good to have. A study involving children ages 2 to 5 also suggests that they are much more active about their knowledge gathering than previously thought by many scientists before them. According to a Newsweek story entitled The Creativity Crisis, preschool children ask their parents an average of 100 questions a day. That's a lot. Sometimes even more. By middle school, when they reach middle school, except for some essential needs, most children basically stop asking their parents questions. And that's when the parents get very scared. Is when they lock themselves in their rooms or behind an iPad or iPhone or something else, and they don't ask. Oh, how wish they still bothered us with their questions as they did before, but now the silence. Now they don't want to talk. They don't have questions. Yes, they do still have questions. Unfortunately, they are seeking answers in other places instead of coming to you. Curiosity is one of the permanent and certain characteristics of a vigorous intellect. Samuel Johnson said that. Have you ever wondered why children ask why so often? Even as adults, we question the why of many things not in our control. For children, why questions help them make sense of the world around them. That they are just beginning to learn about it and they want to feel comfortable with. These why questions also help spur and accelerate learning. Our adult responses and patience are crucial and fundamental as they develop as we developed. Our children's first experience in asking and answering why questions in their quest to understand the world and its complex issues are building blocks of deep thinking and will help prepare them for the future in this life and to their eternal life as well. What can we do at home to foster children's questioning abilities? And how can we support their learning and their spiritual growth? Here are a few suggestions that I'd like to give to you. First of all, pay very close attention, if you are a parent of a little one, to this word. Encourage why questions. Do not discourage them. Encourage why questions. Do this by responding in a supportive manner with an affirmative answer or another. Or another question. Why question? Let me give you an example. If a child comes to you and says, why does it rain? So, that's a great question, you tell the child. It rains because the clouds have moisture in them. And when they get full, they have to let it go. They cannot keep all their, so they have to let it go. And that's when it rains. A lesson for us is like this, my child. Every time we have a lot, every time we receive a lot of things, in order to receive more, we have to let it go. We need to share. Number two, that's a great question. Tell them, why do you think it rains? Second, ask lots of why questions yourself to show your child that learning is a lifelong skill. It is a need that all of us have, not only them, but we all have. So ask them some why questions yourself. Third, read. Especially the book. You know what I'm talking about? The book, the Bible, any other book to your child that contains character forming principles. Don't give them time to get into garbage. There are a lot of so-called books out there that will do only harm to your child, but guide them to the book or to books that reflect the God's principles, as we find in his book. Another idea is that post a page or a list on your refrigerator with your child's question or in your child's room. If the questions are your questions that you are looking for answers for, you can also write them and put in your office, put in a place where you can see them and become. And third and fourth, talk to your child about any why questions they hear about at school, at church, or anywhere. Here are some typical why questions that little ones ask. Some of them you think that it may be very simple, but they all are seeking an answer. Probably you have heard this before. Why does cutting onions make people cry? It seems to be very simple, but to a child, that is important answer they are seeking. Number two, why do I need to eat vegetables? Basically, some of them are asking, why you are torturing me to make me eat those vegetables? But you need to show your child the value of everything that they do and the importance for their own growth. But do it in a form that is fun. Things that stimulate their learning and their joy of knowing the answer. Next is, why don't spiders get stuck on their own webs? That is interesting. So is the next one who says, why do some bugs have more than two eyes? The next one is, why do we have to sleep? And finally, why do we have to go to school every day? Then the why questions get a little more complicated as they grow a little older. And then the question may come and says, why do people get sick? Tell your child. Tell your child about the germs. Tell them how it's important to have good cleaning habits. Because germs may come from the air that we breathe, or the food that we eat, or how we touch our mouth or eyes without washing our hands. This time of crisis that we have right now, the pandemic, is a great opportunity to use this moment to teaching good values, good cleaning habits. Most of the time, germs don't affect us, but sometimes our body can fight them off, but sometimes we can, and then we get sick. Sometimes we get better by just resting and take some medicine that helps our body to heal. And sometimes we can even get worse if we don't take good care, if we don't take the right medication, and we don't take the proper rest. One thing important for you to know when children talk about sickness, children want to know that they will get better if they get sick. They are scared of the unknown. That's why they seek information. That's the same with us as adults. The next question is, why can I stay up as late as you do? Tell your child, not only does your body need a break after running around all day, your brain needs a break too. It is busy exercising as you think and discover new things. Your brain are active all day long, so your brain as well as you needs to rest. And one very thing important, you go to bed a little earlier so your body can and mind can work even better in the morning. So those issues when you go to school and you find them so complicated, if your mind is rested, we'll have a greater chance to grasp those concepts. And then suddenly you start getting A's and everything in school. It's just because your brain is well rested and you can retain information much easier. What you should know. Contrary to popular belief, our body and brain don't grow as we sleep. But scientists know that rest is essential to health mental development. And let me make a point at this time. Sometimes we tell the children that it's important for them to rest well. Some of the children needs at least 10 hours of sleep every night. And yet the adults don't sleep well and comes in the morning. Everything irritates them. Sometimes the children don't sleep well. They pick a fight in the school. They are unhappy with what the teacher tells. They start having bad relationships with their classmates. And all due to the fact that they did not sleep well. So their minds are not well rested. It is very sad sometimes we see people come to church and we can tell that on Sabbath evening or the Holy Eve, they probably were because they don't have to work the next day. So they were relaxed and they still talking to very late. And then they come to church and their minds are tired. And when God serves them the lunch, the weekly meal, they are too tired to enjoy it or to grasp anything. That's why sometimes they get to church, all that they are concerned is the time, the clock, more than anything else. It is important to rest, brothers and sisters, not only to your children, but you need to rest well. Next point that I'd like to make, the nature of some why questions and the danger of doubt and defiance in our lives. Doubt is the birthplace of defiance. Our society at the present speaks of honest doubts and blind faith. Can faith and doubt honestly be blind or be honest? Biblical truth is often spoken as inferior to science. Some people even ridicule anybody who sounds religious. They mock them. They make fun of them. We are projecting a picture to our children that is not cool to be religious. It is actually dumb. What they don't realize is just the opposite. Reality tells us, one does not learn anything except by believing something. Let me repeat if you didn't get it. One does not learn anything except by believing something. So believing is not the problem. If one doubts everything, one learns nothing. On the other hand, brothers and sisters, believing everything believing everything is a road to disaster. So we cannot believe everything, and we cannot doubt everything either. One who believes in everything is one who believes in nothing as well. God demands our distinction for us to make distinction between what is and what is not. Even our own reasoning demands such a distinction. Brothers and sisters, doubt is a deadly virus that is very contagious. On the moment that Eve began to doubt God is the same moment she began to trust the serpent, Satan himself. And by invitation, by her own invitation, death came to this world. First to her children, and then to themselves, and passed on to all of us. It was not an act of God. Remember, death is not an invitation of God. It was not God who invited death to this world, to all of us. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 31, and when I don't mention the version is because it's the New King James Version. Matthew 14:31, and says, telling the story about Peter and Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ was walking the sea and Peter went to meet him and get out of the boat. It says, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him, Peter. Why? Because Peter asked, if it's you, Lord, can I go? And he started walking in water. Peter did something that no other human being besides Jesus Christ did. So he was walking in water. On water. Of course, some people do when the water is frozen. That's different. But in this case, was during the storm, the water was moving. But Peter was walking. As long as his eyes were in Jesus, he was okay. But then he turned his eyes to himself. Why? What is happening to me? And then he started going down. And that's when Jesus Christ caught him. And Jesus told him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Doubt is very dangerous, brothers and sisters. When it comes to our lives, we think, yes, Luke 24, verse 33 to 39, it tells us that doubt is a very destructive thing, even inside the church, especially inside the church. Look what happens here. He talks about those two disciples that were in a journey after the crucifixion, everything that happened in Jerusalem. They were going back to their hometown, and they were in their trip to Emmaus. And as they were walking, somebody came along and talked to them throughout the journey. And they arrive, and they invite this person to come in and to eat. And as they were eating, they realized this was Jesus. So immediately after Jesus did make the blessing for the food and disappear, they got up and says, "We must go back to Jerusalem. We must go back to church and tell everybody in the church what had just happened." So in that very hour, they returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together. So there was 11 plus the ladies and many other were there together. And then verse 34 saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." So Simon saw it. So we have a witness. Simon saw it. Now the question is, do we believe Simon? And they told about the things that had happened on the road. So now two more says, "Yes, we saw him too. We saw him too." Verse 36, "Now as they said those things, Jesus himself, he stood in the midst of them and said to them, 'Peace to you.'" Now it's very important that why Jesus is saying peace to you. Why peace? Because where there's no doubt, there's peace. But where there's doubt, there is fear. Verse 37 says, "But they were terrified and they were frightened." Why? Because they had doubt. And suppose they had seen a spirit. What spirit they're talking about? They are talking about not the spirit of the dead, because they knew that the dead knows nothing. This spirit, they thought there was a demon, an evil spirit. That's why they were terrified. They were frightened. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your heart?" That's why you're terrified, because you have doubts. 39, "Behold my hands and my feet. Look, that it is myself. Handle me, touch me, and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." Now, pay attention to this incident, and then we go to John chapter 20, verse 24 and 29, to 29. It says, "Now Thomas," and we know which Thomas this is, called the twin, "one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came before," you know, what we just talked about. "The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We,'" remember before they said, "Simon saw it." Then the other two says, "We saw it." Now it's three. Then he says, "Now we have seen the Lord." Because all of them that were there in the room now, they all have seen the Lord. Now there are more people in the church that has this conviction. "So he said to them, 'Unless I see,'" that's what Thomas is talking about, "'unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.'" In other words, he says, "I don't believe even in my own eyes. I have to touch it. I don't believe in your eyes. I don't believe in your words. I don't believe in anything. I need to touch it." Doubt, it is a very destructive poison in a church. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas this time was there with them. And Jesus came. The doors were all closed, because at that time they were still afraid of the Romans. They still think that the Romans were, somebody was going to denounce them, somebody would come for them. So they were meeting in closed doors. But again, in the midst of them, Jesus appeared. And again, with the same salutation, he says, peace to you. Now, they have more reason to have peace right now, because before, only few of them knew. Only three in the first meeting, Simon, and then the other two. But now, all of them that were there knew, all the disciples, except Thomas, they were not there. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here. I don't know if you got this. They said they had that meeting there when Thomas came and says, oh, unless he touched here, I will not believe. They thought that Jesus was not there. They couldn't see Jesus, but Jesus was there, because look what Jesus says. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here. Nobody went around and said, oh, Jesus, Thomas said that. And no, Jesus knew exactly what Thomas said when Thomas thought that he was not present. Sometimes we act as if God is not present in our lives, and we don't realize that God is with us all the time. And he promised, I'll be with you into the end of the ages. Wherever you go, I'll be there with you. Reach your finger in here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it into my side. And then Jesus said, do not be unbelieving, but believing. Don't let doubts control you. Let faith move you. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. But you know, Thomas, let me teach you something to you and to everyone throughout the ages. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet they have believed. Blessed are those that are moved by faith, not by doubt. In Matthew 28:16-17, another event took place. Now, remember, we already reported those two events. But Jesus tells the 11 disciples, this time Judas is already gone, so now he's only 11. Jesus tells them, I want you to go to Galilee. And there is this special mountain where we prayed so many times before. I want you to meet me there. So they were there, and here comes Jesus. And Jesus appeared to them. And immediately they worship him. But look what it says, the last part of verse 17. But some doubt. Now, those are only the 11 disciples. We're not talking about here with the ladies and all the extra ones. It's just the 11 disciples. And look what it says, verse 17, when they saw him. Remember, he already showed twice, manifest twice with all of them. But it still, it says, and some doubt. Some people stay in church for years, years and years. They don't have enough faith to be faithful. They don't have enough faith to share their faith, their income, their resources. They have doubt. They are afraid of tomorrow. That's why they are so driven to keep everything. You know the lesson about the clouds, why we have rain is because the clouds, once they had enough, they had to let it go. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times, in the last days, some will depart from the faith because they will listen to deceiving spirits, which is a spirit of demons, which brings doctrines of demons. And they will be accepting those false doctrines because they doubt what is right and they accept what is wrong. Brothers and sisters, it is a blessing to believe. It's a blessing to trust. Teach your children to trust. Let me share something. When my children were small, they, like any other children, my children were not any different than many other children. They would say, Dad, why? When I tell them, get down. And they say, why? I say, boom, you're gone. So when I tell you, get down, you get down first. And then after you get down, you are safe. Then in safety, you have earned the right to an answer. You trust first and get the answer, the explanation later. Parents, you do not help your children when you give before you require something from them. Because tell your children, very common sense, tell your children, okay, children, let me talk to you about something. For example, a place called bank. What is the bank for? Oh, they will say to you, oh, to put money. Okay, but is a bank a place where we can go and withdraw money from? Oh, yes, but if we have put some in, first we have to put money in before we are able to take it out. But what happens if we try to get some money out before we put anything in? We go to jail. That's called robbery. That's called stealing. So don't give anything to your children before your children invest trust on you. Sometimes we give them answers before they earn their trust. It is important for us to tell our children, you will be entitled to an explanation after you grant me the trust. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. I want you to look to this verse because this verse says two times the same thing. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So substance and evidence is the same thing. Hoped for and not seen is the same thing. They are correlated. So this verse tells us basically one thing. Faith is to believe in what we cannot see. What we hope for. What we know that we can trust we will receive. Faith is the trust that we give. The trust that we deposit. In verse 11, in chapter 11, verse 6, it says, but without faith it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to have any relationship with God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him and trust him. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, for we all walk by faith, brothers and sisters, not by sight. If we walk by faith, we'll never miss the path. We never miss the way. Because the way, the truth in life will be always with us. We do not walk by sight, but by faith. Trust must be cultivated in our children and as well in our own hearts. In a New Living, in a New Century Version, Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 8, it says, trust the Lord with all your heart. And don't depend on your own foolishness, your own understanding. By the way, the foolishness is my version, okay? He says, don't depend on your own understanding. And our understanding before God is foolishness. Verse 6, remember the Lord in all you do. Not only 99% all, not only when it's convenient, but in all that you do, remember the Lord, the reason why you do everything, the reason why you exist. And he will be, he will give you success. Trust him. Let him drive. Let him be the driver, the pilot. And you will succeed. Don't depend on your own wisdom. Respect the Lord and you will refuse to do what is wrong. Then your body will be healthy. and your bones will be strong. In other words, brother and sister, trusting God make you healthy and good and strong bones. You know when they say this person has a backbone? Yes, if you trust God, you will be strong. I told you before in a previous message, I like Romans 8:28 a lot. Because it's a sign for us that we can have the confidence and trust in God. Because the Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Yes, everything is going to work fine. Tell your children, there's an epidemic, there's people getting sick, there are all this confusion, all this hate, all this why, so many whys. But at the end, if we trust God, everything is going to be all right. Amen. Philippians 4, verse 13, it says, I can do all things through Christ, who is the one who strengthens me. I can do all things. Now, I put together a little verse, one verse here, about reflecting. It says like this, believing in a living God affects the way you act. It produces an inspired image, which influences how others will react. In conclusion, brothers and sisters, Philippians 4 verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, with gratitude, let your requests be made known to God daily. Don't bring to God your doubt, your why. Bring to God your hope, your trust, your requests. And be anxious for nothing. Luke 1 verse 37, when the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, and Mary says, no, this is what he told her. This is not possible, because. And he was talking about Elizabeth also. He says, and she's old, and because to all this. And the angel says this. And please, why don't you write this in the room of your child? Write this. Write this on your refrigerator. Write this a place where you can see this every day. Chapter 1, verse 37. For with God, nothing will be impossible. For with God, nothing will be impossible. And by the way, brothers and sisters, when the Bible tells me nothing, it means nothing, not a thing. And now, I'm going to tell you a story. Just to illustrate and close our message this morning. One day a man was given a special gift, a cruise. Wow, he was shocked. He had never been on a cruise before in his entire life, and he thought that he would never be able to afford one, so he didn't even think about it. But this time, he was so excited, because for the first time, he was going to fulfill a dream of his life. He was going to take his first trip. A cruise. Wow. The cruise came at no cost to him. Otherwise, he would not be able to go anyway. So, the person who gave it to him picked up the entire tab of the cruise. That's why he was so happy. He could finally go fulfill his dream. Throughout the week of the cruise, one of the crew members noticed that this man frequently ate the free crackers and juice provided on the deck. In fact, he had never seen anyone eat as many crackers as this man did. Curious, what was the reason why he was doing this, the crew member spoke to the man as he was disembarking at the end of his trip. He said, "Sir, how did you enjoy the cruise?" The man replied, "It was spectacular. I had the best time of my life. I have never experienced anything like this before, and probably I never will again." "Very good, sir," the crew member said. And then he continued, "I noticed that you really like the crackers and the juice on the deck. I was just wondering, why, sir?" "Well," the man replied, looking down, "I saw all the lavish meals that were being offered all week long. But, you know, I didn't have any money. So, since the crackers and the juice were free, I let them sustain me during the entire cruise." The crew member replied, a little confused, replied, "But sir, someone didn't give you all the information when the price of your ticket was paid? It was not only the ticket was paid, but everything in the boat was included. And anywhere that the boat went, everything was paid for. Everything, sir. Your food was covered in the price of the ticket. Your trip was paid in full." Our faith in Christ, brothers and sisters, and our salvation not only takes us to heaven, but also provides us with everything we need during the journey. God will act on our behalf if we allow Him to, if we trust Him. He will do what is necessary. He has promised to take care of all our needs. Not our wants. Don't get confused. There's a distinction between what we want and what we need. He promised to take care of all our needs. Our scripture says, "God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus." Philippians 4:19. Does that include bills? Yes. Does that include employment? Yes. Does that include relational conflict? Yes. Does that include our health? Yes. Our dreams? Our goals? Yes. Does that include the health issues we don't know what to do with? Yes. God will meet all our needs. Yes, our trip and everything that is included in our trip, it is paid in full in Christ. Just trust. Just trust Him today and trust Him always. And the journey will be fun. God bless.